relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Welcome, dear friends, to the Manhood Hour here on America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th, and God willing, if we do our part, the 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. You know me, I travel the nation, I give lots of speeches, and most places I go, I say, just skip the intro thing, no bio, tell them, here's the guy with the funny accent from radio who worked in the White House, and let's just get on with it. Especially because I like to get to the Q&A and take questions. From those who are in the audience. However, if I had a bio like this, I may make it mandatory for all my hosts to read it in every syllable. I'm just going to give a little extract of our guests. Well, it's not a background. It's like a character from a Tom Clancy novel. Our guest joined the British Army the day after he left school and spent the next 30 years in some of the world's most notorious trouble spots, including 8 tours of duty in Northern Ireland, where he was wounded in a multiple terrorist mortar attack in South Armagh. He was appointed member of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II for his work in military intelligence in Northern Ireland in 1993. He took part in the invasion of Iraq in a Challenger tank in 1991 with the legendary Desert Rats. He was sent to Kabul in 2003 to take command of the British forces in Afghanistan, where he created a very unusual transatlantic, what should we call it, task force with our devil dogs, the US Marines. And if that weren't enough, he ended up as counterterrorism advisor to the Macedonian head of state. Additionally, he was a member of COBRA, the Cabinet Office Briefing Room, which is the kind of highest level sit room emergency management committee of the UK government, where he chaired the Cobra Intelligence Group. He was appointed commander of the Order of the British Empire for his work in national security. I'm going to just stop there because I'm going to run out of time. We are honored to have him with us on the show today. He is a freedom fighter for our civilization. Colonel Richard Kemp, welcome to the Manhood Hour.
Thanks. It's a great pleasure. Don't believe all you just read out. And I'd like to say I don't believe you've got a strange accent at all. It's perfectly normal.
Thank you. I sometimes worry that after, you know, 16 years here in America, the received pronunciation from Ealing, from West London, is getting a little bit twangy and a little bit American. But if I survive the next hour without getting a raised eyebrow from you, then I'll be fine. Colonel Kemp, I think we had you on the show several years ago. I've been following your work with great interest over the years. You have a reputation for speaking the truth, you know, and damn what happens after that. I'm going to start simply with the biggest question. How much danger is our civilization in?
I think it's in very, very deadly peril. And it's not just about the immediate threats that we face, like, for example, the threat from Putin, which, although is focused and directed mainly on Ukraine at the moment, has the potential to spread more widely and also, of course, does through what you might call grey warfare, does also focus on us. The threat from Iran, which is engulfing Israel at the moment in a war on multiple fronts. And, of course, the threat from China, which goes beyond the kind of some of the trade activities of China, but also includes, I think, surreptitiously doing its best to undermine our society through espionage and through subversion, which is extremely widespread. So those are known and identified threats. I'm not saying we're facing them absolutely as we should, but I think the greatest threat probably comes from within. And that is a threat to our the very fabric of our culture and of our societies. And I just like to, you know, I'm a very old man now, but I can remember even when I was at school back in the 1970s, we were taught to hate our country by our teachers. And I went to a pretty good school. It was a state school, but it was a decent school. And even in that school, we were taught there's not much to be proud about, slavery, empire, all of these things. And we were taught to criticize and to despise our country. And that's all those years ago. Think about the generations since then who have been educated in that way and how much worse it's all got. And we see the, you know, in recent days and weeks, we've seen the product of this attack on our society in universities in the United States, in Great Britain, and on the streets of our country, where there are these protests allegedly supporting the Palestinians. But actually, I think if you scratch very deep on the surface of most of the protesters, most of these people in their encampments, you'd find not only a hatred for Israel, but a hatred probably for the United States and the UK as well.
What is the, to use the military term, the center of gravity of that assault that is from within? Do we just put it down to the professors, the colleges? Is it a political party? Is it malefactors from the outside, such as China? Or is it just the fact that the left outmaneuvered the patriots over the last 50 years?
Yeah, I think it goes well beyond the university professors. And if you just take, I believe the origins of this whole sickness that we face today do come from the Soviet Union, as so much did. The Soviet Union is responsible for creating the current propaganda campaign against Israel. It's responsible for corrupting our education systems. And I don't say that they've directly done that, but they've certainly had a really malign influence on schools and universities. And that's been, I think, taken up by China as well nowadays. China wasn't involved particularly in the early stages, but they are now. And they've effectively, this malaise has captured very, very much of our society. Speaking about here in the UK, and I think what happens in the UK and the US very often reflect one another. More often than not, the UK follows what happens in the US, but sometimes it's the other way around. And you can look at pretty much the whole of society and see how it's been gripped by this sickness, this essentially left-wing anti-British illness that exists today. And that includes in our government institutions as well. And I think what I find very, very discouraging is that we here in Britain, we have had 14 years of so-called conservative government. And the state we're in after 14 years of supposed conservatism is absolutely dire in so many different ways. Wokeism has taken control. And the problem is that we're about to have a general election here in the UK, which will probably be about the same time as the general election in the United States. And the ground has been prepared by the Conservative Party, of all people, for a Labour Party that is essentially Corbyn's Labour Party. It's no different to the days when Corbyn ran it. It's got different colour paint now and the pretense that it's shed all of its Corbynite agendas. But it hasn't really. I think, you know, we have seen a degree of moderation. And again, going back to the Israel thing, because I think Israel is quite a significant indicator, at least, of what's happening elsewhere. We've seen a degree of moderation of their policies towards Israel and other issues, other related issues. But it's all about electioneering. And I think when the Labour Party get into power, assuming they do, which is looking very likely, then they've already got some pretty rich, fertile terrain sowed by the Conservatives to make things hugely worse than they are now, and I think they will do so.
But I find it disturbing that you say this is a general phenomenon and not just one of the urban elites. I look at Brexit as an instantiation that, you know, the British bulldog spirit and the concept of national sovereignty is still there. Are you saying that the wokeristas are winning?
I think they're certainly winning in the media, and that includes the social media, which is dominated, both mainstream media organizations like the BBC, Sky News, other mainstream broadcasting organizations, and many newspapers are dominated by the wokists. And they speak with the loudest voices. I would guess, and it's very difficult to assess it properly, I would guess the majority of ordinary, decent British people do not share that agenda. But it's very, very hard for people who are not woke to come out against the woke and to speak out, for example, against this whole transgender business and against DIE and all of the other devices that have been inflicted upon us. It's very hard to come up out against that without being really severely hit from all quarters by social media. And indeed, you know, even people can find their employment cancelled. So I think if they, the silent majority probably have sort of more traditional British values, but daren't express them. And there is a risk, I think, of all of that dying out as a consequence of this almost, you know, almost total suppression of those values and speaking of those values. And for example, there was one of the potential leaders of the Scottish Nationalist Party in Scotland, obviously, who was a leadership candidate a year or so ago, who spoke about her religious values and was almost automatically cancelled as a result of that. No one would have a party leader in this country who spoke openly about religious values or old-fashioned, you know, traditional British standards.
We're talking to the author of Attack State Red, Colonel Richard Kemp, British Army retired. Follow him on Twitter at COL, Colonel Richard Kemp. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is The Manhood Hour. If you enjoy the deep dive, the long-form interview with true experts and newsmakers like the good Colonel, make sure you are subscribed on the podcast platform of your choice. Just look for me, Sebastian Gorka, and the name America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And if you want safety back, if you want security back, if you want sanity in the White House, we've put the booking photograph from Fulton County of President Trump on a yard sign, on a t-shirt, on a mug. Tell the world you understand he needs to be 47, not just 45. All that and my books available at sebgorkastore.com. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorkastore.com. And you can support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew that was good for you. And it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and vegetables. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is Balance of Nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. Feel better naturally and eat your fruits and vegetables every single day with Balance of Nature. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them directly, you must use promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them 800-246-8751 and use code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off. If 3 hours of radio simply isn't enough every single day, join us for our Patriots Alaska cruise over July 4th, June 29th to July 6th. Already 400 of you have registered for our cruise through the waterways of the most beautiful state of the Union on the 5-star luxury liner, the Eurodame. Check out the amazing itinerary and then book your cabin to join me, Katie, my muse, Mike Gallagher, our morning maven out of New York, Jennifer Horn and Chris Chris DeGaulle for the trip of a lifetime. Go to sebgorka.com and just click on the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. I mentioned President Trump at the end of the first segment, Colonel. You wrote a piece in the Telegraph just last week that a former cabinet member of the Trump administration brought to my attention on the show last week, Secretary Wilkie. It has a rather provocative title. Well, not really provocative if you live in the real world. Donald Trump has saved NATO and the West. Could you unpack why what... prior eras would have been deemed just straight talking leadership is so needed today, and why that statement is deemed so provocative when in fact it's just a statement of empirical truth?
Yeah, well, I think leadership is one of the things that we are sorely lacking in the West today. And I quite often go to America and I speak at a range of events in the United States. And very often I get questioned about the current state of Britain and Britain's failure in so many ways to stand up for itself and stand up against the tyrannies like Iran and Russia and other countries. And they always quote, you know, look what Britain did in 1939, 1940, Britain stood alone against Nazism. Why aren't you standing up now against these threats that you face? And my answer to that is I don't think Britain did stand alone. I think it was Winston Churchill who stood alone. he was hugely opposed by the majority of people in his cabinet.
Well, and for a decade, he lived in the wilderness and he was laughed at when he said, watch out for that Austrian corporal with the funny moustache.
He did. And I think had it not been for his insight and his judgment and his willpower, then Britain would have made an accommodation with the Nazis back in 1939, 1940. And so it came down in that case, I think, almost entirely to one man saving the West. Okay, I'm not suggesting for a moment Britain alone saved the West. Of course, we had the British Empire fighting on our side. We had the United States obviously made a huge difference when they came in 1941. And we couldn't have won that war without the United States. And of course, Russia itself, the Soviet Union, although it sided initially with the Nazis and helped the Nazis into power and helped arm the Nazis, eventually came onto the right side after it got attacked. But I think the pivot of the whole thing was Winston Churchill and that degree of leadership that that we were fortunate enough to see from Churchill. And it just isn't around in this country, certainly today. I mean, there are some fairly capable politicians, but I don't identify from any party a political leader who could come anywhere near filling Winston Churchill's shoes. And we haven't seen anything really like it since Margaret Thatcher. We could do with Thatcher again today, perhaps. In the United States, I think Donald Trump, much heavily criticized though he is over here in Europe, he played a significant role. In the article that I wrote that you quoted just now, he berated European countries for being freeloaders on the United States, for not being willing to resource their own defenses and being dependent on US money. And Trump, previous presidents had also made criticisms, but they hadn't been really as blunt as Donald Trump was. And it took that to wake the Europeans up. And I think it had some effect. And we've seen increases in defense expenditure among European countries ever since Trump became president. I think we need him. I would say that the United States needs him now. He needs to not just to lead the United States, but to lead the world in a period which is getting, you know, you don't need me to tell you this, is getting increasingly dangerous with all those different threats I mentioned before.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And as someone who's served in uniform in the Middle East, in the Balkans, in Northern Ireland, what do you say to those on your side of the pond and here who say, oh my gosh, we can't have him back. He's a warmonger. He's going to destabilize the planet.
Well, whatever anyone thinks of Trump on a personal basis, I really am not an expert on U.S. domestic politics, but I believe that the world was a lot safer when Donald Trump was the president of the United States. No new wars were started by him. He carried out some pretty significant punitive action when he thought it was necessary, for example, killing Qasem Soleimani, who was plotting against the U.S. and its allies. But I think his unpredictability, if nothing else, and his volatility deterred people like Putin and Xi, and indeed the Ayatollahs in Iran from the level of aggression that we've seen since President Biden took office. And I think you can attribute a very large amount of instability in the world today directly to the door of President Biden. And to a large extent, it started when he carried out that absolutely extraordinarily awful operation to withdraw U.S. forces and NATO forces from Afghanistan, a real disaster for U.S. foreign policy, one of the most disastrous decisions I think I've seen or heard about in recent years. And that was a green light to Putin. Putin invaded Ukraine during Obama's presidency. He invaded it during Biden's presidency. He left it alone during Trump's presidency. And I think he would have probably not invaded Ukraine if Trump had been in the White House.
Yeah.
Putin saw what Biden was like after the withdrawal from Afghanistan and decided to chance his arm. And I think the same is true, probably, of the war we're seeing now in the Middle East, which is obviously directed and funded and financed and coordinated by Iran. And I think the Ayatollahs also, they saw weakness. They saw years of Biden appeasing them, of giving them billions of dollars in unfrozen assets, of releasing hostages in exchange for vast amounts of money, and, you know, turning a blind eye to so many of the evils that they've been carrying out, including direct attacks against U.S. forces with very, very minimal responses, when actually a very, very heavy response was called for. And I think all of that, his weakness and his unpredictability, has contributed to this situation. And actually, one of the countries that is most concerned, I think, about the United States, not just Israel. Israel, of course, is concerned about the extent of U.S. support. But Saudi Arabia, he vilified Saudi Arabia from the moment he took office. He delisted the Houthis from their terrorist status,
yeah,
thereby encouraging Houthi attack that we're seeing now in the Red Sea and encouraging Iran to greater and greater aggression.
We're talking to the author of Attack State Red, Colonel Richard Kemp. He is commander of the Order of the British Empire. Follow him at COL Richard Kemp on Twitter. And whilst you're there, do give us a follow as well. If you want to be up to date with the breaking news, just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on all the usual platforms, Twitter, Truth Social, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter. Don't forget, you can watch us as well. We are a television show. Just download the Salem News Channel app. And for my latest content, original content written by me and direct access to me, go to my Substack. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. That's my whole name, one word, SebastianGorka.substack.com. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. If you enjoy America First, support those who make it possible. This isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million of your taxpayer money every year. This is a free market enterprise made possible by great patriots like Mike Lindell, a good friend of the president. The left detests him and wants to cancel him for good. Let's have his back. He's the inventor of the MyPillow, of which he has sold 81 million. Yes, it is that good. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. I rest my cranium on one every single night. But are you aware he's got hundreds of items on his website made in America by Americans? Don't buy that Chinese tat on Amazon. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name for up to 2/3 off and free shipping. You will not get that deal anywhere else. Buy American, buy MAGA. You can call them up. Talk to a human being. How delightful is that? 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A for that maximal discount. All right, before we get a little bit more philosophical, we talk about what manhood or masculinity means to you, Colonel Kemp. I've got a little biased question I need to ask you. Not sure all of my listeners will be fascinated, but maybe they will. I spent a few years as an interrogator in the British Territorial Army in the Intelligence Corps. And I worry, I loved my time, my few years as a, you know, weekend warrior in the British Army. I absolutely loved it, surrounded by utter, complete eccentrics, especially the Army Air Corps. You guys, you're lunatics, but I love the way you fly. I'm really distressed by what I hear about the downsizing of the Army, its capabilities. Can you tell me a little bit of what it's really like? Is it as bad as I fear?
Well, I think there are two, maybe three major issues that I ought to mention here. One is that the size of the armed forces in manpower, in ships, in tanks, in planes, artillery and tanks, all of these things have been really very, very badly scaled back by successive governments over many decades. To the extent now, we've got a pretty comprehensive defense force, which covers most of the bases from counterinsurgency right the way through to the kind of conventional operations that we see today in Ukraine, high-intensity operations. But we are very, very thinly spread in all of the capabilities we need. And one of the issues that people very often focus on is recruiting. They can't get enough recruits to fill even the British Army today, which is a minuscule strength of around about 70,000 only. When I first joined, it was more than 150,000. But it's been successively written down. But there is, in fact, no shortage of recruits. There's plenty of young men and women who are still patriotic in this country, who still want to serve their country, who would like to join the armed forces, but are prevented from doing so by a sclerotic recruiting system, which seems to me to be designed to prevent people from joining the armed forces. And the reason for that is, again, cost cutting. Instead of, when you try and join the army, instead of going to see somebody who has served in the army and can allay perhaps your concerns about military life, because it is a completely different world from anything else, as you well know. You get a machine, or you get a civilian who's never, doesn't really even know what the army is. And then you get all sorts of obstacles thrown in your way. And then you get a government who throws their hands up because they can't recruit and says, well, we better cut the army even further then. So that's just one of the symptoms. But the other major issue I've got, I think, with the armed forces today is that an increasing over reliance on technology. There's an idea that you can get rid of infantry soldiers and replace them with cameras or drones or other technological solutions, which is simply not true. And we've seen how that doesn't work in the invasion of Israel from Gaza recently. That was a classic example of how you cannot rely on technology, which the Israelis did. You got the same in Ukraine. I was in Ukraine myself a few months ago, and I saw the frontline fighting there, which was, you know, you could have seen the same thing in the Second World War, possibly even the First World War. So but in Britain, I fear that part of the reason we've cut our manpower is because we think technology will substitute. The reality is you need both. You need up-to-date modern technology, but you also need hard military fighting power. And I'm afraid that we're very much lacking in the latter area. I'm very pleased to say that the British government recently announced a significant uplift to the British defence budget to, I think, 2.5% of GDP, which is not enough. But at least it's a start. And I think, again, that uplift was prompted to a very large extent by the likelihood that President Trump will come into the White House in January, or the possibility he'll come into the White House in January. And we need to be in the right place as far as he's concerned.
Better get ready for the return, because he's going to be asking all NATO members if they're doing their part. It's up to us to get him reelected. But yeah, he doesn't want any more freeloaders inside of the alliance. We're talking to Colonel Richard Kemp, British Army retired. The website is richard-kemp.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is The Manhood Hour, one-on-one, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor right now, as we speak, is liberating over 1 million Americans from their daily pain. I happen to be one of them. I suffered from a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 5 years later. How does it do it? Its ingredients are proven anti-inflammatories like resveratrol, curcumin, omega-3s that assault the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. If you tried everything else and failed to find relief, call this number today, 1-800, the number for relief, or go to relieffactor.com. You owe it to yourself to find out if you could be the next success story. It is as simple as calling 1-800-473-5433. Ask yourself the simple question, what do you have to lose? And if the only answer to that question is the pain, well, you know what to do. Go right now, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. What role do you have to play in pushing back on the woke left, on the people destroying our civilization? Well, you don't have to have a national radio show or run for public office. If you have a cell phone and it's linked to one of the big cell phone providers here in the U.S., I am sorry to report that you are funding those who hate you and hate our country. The big cell phone companies are left-wing. They donate millions of dollars to causes that are antithetical to your value system, such as Planned Parenthood, gun control foundations, and organizations that but trying to cancel and censor conservatives. There's only one Christian conservative cell phone company in the nation. It's the one I use. It's called Patriot Mobile. It has the same nationwide coverage, a performance guarantee. Glenn and his support team are the best in the business. It's so easy. You keep your old number, you keep your old phone, and you can even get an upgrade if you wish. Just call 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 972-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Don't fund people who hate you. Switch today. patriotmobile.com/Gorka. Ammunition is a hard asset, something that is tangible like gold. The value never goes to zero. In fact, in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of ammunition only goes up. Not to mention, ammo can be difficult to find, but I have a solution for you. Ammo Squared. In these tough times, Ammo Squared offers a unique and budget-friendly way to invest in ammunition, like an ammo 401k or ammo savings account. Set it up and have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves go empty and ammunition is hard to find. There is no minimum to buy, no memberships needed, and no extra fees. Buy ammo on a small budget, then watch it grow over time like a savings account. As ammunition builds up in your account, it is stored for free in a climate-controlled warehouse, secured, insured, and safe from threats until you need it. Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. It is truly the set it and forget it ammo purchasing program. Pick your calibers, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Visit them now at ammosquared.com and join today. ammosquared.com. All right, let's get a little bit personal. This is the manhood hour. This is my favorite question for our guests. Ideally, it should be one's father, but not everybody is so lucky. Sometimes it's a teacher at school. It's a favorite uncle. When you were finding your way in the world as a young man, who was your role model and what were the values that you looked up to when you said, I want to be like that grown-up man?
I think I'll take your first answer, which is my father, who was a very powerful figure. Unfortunately, he died very young, but he probably had greater influence on me than anybody else ever has.
A military man?
He served in for a couple of years at the end of the Second World War as a National Service soldier, but he wasn't a professional military man. He was actually a master mariner, a ship's captain. But he had very, very strong values. And those values, I think, he was relatively religious. He was certainly a religious believer. He didn't attempt to thrust religious values down our throats, but he certainly knew right from wrong and taught all of them, me and my brothers and sisters, the difference between right and wrong. And how to stand up for ourselves. And I think one of the most outstanding things that I can recall from him and the lessons that I learned from him was when he told me that if everyone else is going in that direction, then your best bet is to go in the other direction. In other words, don't follow the crowd. Don't be taken in by what the herd says. Think for yourself. Act with your own instincts. And that, I think, you know, maybe other people might say I'm wrong, but I think that has served me extremely well for most of my life. And the other person who was this may not fit into your manhood hour, but the other person who was a very strong role model for me was my mother, who was also a very tough woman, very self-sufficient, wouldn't take any nonsense from anybody, and certainly wouldn't tolerate all of this feminism, feminist, whatever the right word is, feminist, the feminist movements of today. She was very definitely a woman, but she was a woman who knew her own mind and didn't attempt to take refuge in any cults or any of these mass movements that people seem to want to hide behind today.
And what are the adjectives that best describe what your father and your mother represented to you, Colonel?
He's put me on the spot slightly there. I'm not sure what an adjective is. I wasn't very well educated.
Descriptor words.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your late education that I've received. I did actually go to a grammar school, although I didn't learn much grammar because when I was at school, it was unfashionable to learn grammar by rote. You had to learn by reading and copying what was read, stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, I think I would say that they were honest, decent, upstanding people, both of them, not afraid to stand their own ground and not afraid to do the right thing, irrespective of what anybody else said, thought, or did. And I think, my father's, as well as telling me to go in the opposite direction from everybody else, which sometimes has been problematic, he also said, don't take any notice of what anybody else says or thinks about you. It's not important what other people think about you. It's important what you think about, what you think is the right thing to do, and then do it irrespective.
I just heard this. Social media is mostly a curse, but I am, like most, addicted to it. And I just heard somebody say the following. I'm sorry if this is you who said it, because I can't remember who it was. You should definitely not care a fig about the views of people who you'd never ask advice from. And I think that's a very, very good, piece of advice on how to live your life. And I must say, you have lived up to your father's advice to cut your own path in life. If you look at where we are today, Colonel, where masculinity is deemed toxic as a conventional wisdom, if you were writing a curriculum for young boys, what kinds of things would you put on the curriculum as what they have to learn to master in order to push back on today's assault on classical values?
Well, I think one of the things has to be history. That has to be very strong in the curriculum, but not the kind of history that is taught so often today. I think, there are so many examples from history that I certainly read as a young boy, and it wasn't what I was taught at my school, because the school would have disapproved, I think, to a large extent of some of these things. But the examples set by warriors of past days, and I'm not talking even in the ancient past, but if you look at some of the extraordinary feats of military people over the decades, including right up to date. I mean, I'm talking, even there are some incredible feats by some very young men and women in some cases in Afghanistan and Iraq in recent years. And studying them, I think, would be one of the best ways for young men to get inspiration. I do think one of the things I believe, there are two words that I hate probably above all others when they're together, and those are the words safe space. and I hear so I speak a lot to young people in high schools and universities in the United States and the UK, and I'm always hearing the words I feel unsafe. I'm hoping not from things I've said to them, but maybe. But I feel unsafe. What is this obsession with safety? I actually quite like being in danger. One of the proudest occurrences in my life was when my name was found a few years ago on an Al-Qaeda kill list. I took enormous pride in that, mainly because I'm not trying to pretend I'm a very brave person, but I took great pride in it because it showed me that I'd been annoying the wrong people. And when I go and speak, sorry.
No, that's super funny. That reminds me as a kind of career moment for me. You know, you can get all the gongs and all the nice commendations, but when I was informed that I had turned up an interview with me in my days in counterterrorism, had turned up in one of Zawahiri's propaganda videos, I thought, oh, I think I've made it. I can cross that one off the list. So I think we have that in common.
You can throw away all the medals and take that as a real badge of honor. Also, I managed to, I'm not going to bore on about that, but I managed to incur the wrath of one Jerry Adams, who I'm sure you know. I hope.
Oh, yes. The front man for the Provisional IRA. If you pissed him off, you're a very, very decent chap by definition.
Exactly. And you know, if I speak at schools and universities, not so much high schools, but at universities, I'm actually very disappointed if I don't get a significant protest against me being there. The largest protest I ever had was at the University of Sydney. But it's pretty tame if you don't get a significant right. number of people turning up to protest your presence. But I just do not feel that it's right for young people to be told that they've always got to be safe. If, you know, if a president they don't like gets elected, they have to go and sit in the crying room for a few hours. It's very, very unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it's also linked to the what I consider to be the modern day obsession with mental health. And I'm sure there are many people who genuinely suffer from mental health, but it's also now the fashionable thing. Yeah. It's fashionable to have PTSD. And the reality is that very few, I'm speaking more about soldiers, very few soldiers actually do genuinely suffer from PTSD. They're made of sterner stuff than that. And I think, you know, in my experience, I left the army a number of years ago now, but although we were constantly being told when I was serving that young people of today are not anything like as strong as the young people of the Second World War or whatever, I found that to be completely untrue. All of the young people that I served with, not one of them ever let me down they let me down in many ways, including getting drunk when they shouldn't have done and getting into fights when they shouldn't have done. But not one of them ever let me down in terms of courage and resilience and the willingness and the absolute determination to not let their fellows down. And I think that still exists today. I don't think society has changed much, except that it lacks the leadership and the robust leadership to bring that out of people and to encourage people to do it. And the last thing you need is people worrying all the time about safe spaces.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to the author of Attack State Red, Colonel Richard Kemp. His website is richard-kemp.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, one-on-one, the Manhood Hour. Patriot Mobile. It's conservative, it's Christian, it's the only cell phone provider of its type in America with the same nationwide coverage as the big boys, a performance guarantee. But this company, to the tune of millions of dollars, has promoted causes you believe in. The Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the sanctity of life. Don't fund those who hate you and your value system. Join the good guys today. It's as easy as calling 972-PATRIOT. You keep your old number, keep your old phone, or get an upgrade. Switch today and be with those who love America as much as you do. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA, 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in.
To allow it to be brought in, I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
That's one of the pro-Hamas protesters, doctoral student Johanna King-Slutsky. I'm not making it up. That's her real name, saying, please deliver us our kale salad and our soy milk lattes. Otherwise, we can't have our revolution. Colonel Kemp, in the last few moments we have here on the Manhood Hour, as we fight for and celebrate the civilizational values of the Judeo-Christian world, I mean, that's just hilarious. That's a Monty Python skit from the 1970s. Is this absurdity going to collapse in on itself, or do we have to fight even harder than ever?
I think we've got to fight even harder than ever. I'm sorry to laugh, but that is an absolute absurdity. My advice to that young lady would be, if she wants to stand up for the people of Gaza, although I suspect her interest is more attacking the people of Israel, then perhaps she should go to Gaza and see how she would get on there, how she'd fare there. I suspect she wouldn't do very well. She might be wanting a bit more than lattes or kale salad. But I'm very heartened, actually, as well, to see in some of the... I've seen some videos in the last day or so of US students, American students, going to these protests and standing up for American values, protecting the American flag.
And Jewish students as well, which is just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's extremely encouraging, and I hope we're going to see more of that against these anti-Americans. I mean, they say they're pro-Palestinian, but actually they're anti-Americans and anti-Israelis. And I witnessed a few years ago here in the UK a very large and aggressive anti-Israel demonstration taking place at one of the universities. And I thought there were no counter-protesters except two, I think, very young men, probably no more than 17, 18, who just went and stood there with holding an Israeli flag up. And they were turned on by the crowd, and they did not budge. They stood their ground. They were not intimidated by these people, although I think many people would have been. And that's the kind of courage that I think we need to see. The last thing we need to see is for people to be cowed and intimidated by them. And of course, the objective of many of these thugs around the universities, on the university, thugs actually is probably too strong a word, because I doubt many of them would be capable of real thuggery. But their objective, I think, above all, is to intimidate Jewish students on the university campuses. That's what they're trying to do. I think above everything, all of their other objectives. Because they know that the strongest support for Israel is among Jewish people, Jewish students and Jewish people. And if they can turn Jews against Israel, that is a huge victory for them. And they have succeeded in some cases. And I always, whenever I meet Jewish students, whether at high school or university, I always try and encourage them to stand their ground, not worry about feeling unsafe, as I said before, make the other person feel unsafe, perhaps. And one point I always make to them, back in 1941, Winston Churchill spoke at Eton, his old school. I assume it was your old school as well, Sebastian.
No. Sure. I was Ealing Abbey, West London, St. Benedict's.
A bit superior to Eton. but he went to speak at his old school, and it was suggested to him that we were living in dark days. This is back in 1941, when... You know, many people would have considered that dark days. We had suffered huge damage and death and destruction from Nazi bombing raids on London and other cities. The US hadn't come into the war yet. We hadn't really achieved any major victories by this time. And he said, we should not think of these as dark days. We should think of these as stern days. He said, these are great days, and we should all feel honored to be able to play our part in standing up and fighting for our country. Those weren't his exact words, but something like that. And that's what I always say to Jewish students in particular, but also non-Jewish students who are faced with this intimidation, that it shouldn't be seen as a burden to resist it. It should be seen as an honor.
Yes.
We don't want these times. They're terrible times, but we're living through them. And what are we going to do? Are we going to bow down to it? Are we going to succumb to it? Are we going to stand up and be proud of our heritage, of our background, and defend our families and our country and our people and our friends? There's that great expression, what did you do in the war, Daddy? There was a cartoon, I think. Well, I would encourage anybody who might have grandchildren in years to come to be able to stand up with some degree of pride and answer that question about what you did in these stern days.
Well, it's just like Churchill said, oh, you've got enemies. You should celebrate that fact because that means that you've stood for something in your life. A perfect way to close. Please follow this man, Colonel Richard Kemp. We salute you. He is the author of Attack State Red. Follow him on Twitter at COL Richard Kemp and on his website, richard-kemp.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to The Manhood Hour. If you want peace and prosperity back, if you want no more wars, let's get my former boss back in the White House. Get the yard sign, get the t-shirt, get the mug with his booking photograph from Fulton County and the very simple phrase, Trump 2024. All America First gear and my books available at sebgorkastore.com. Oh, including, let's put up that. I'm so proud of you guys. You made this the number one item on our website 2 months in a row. We've done jujitsu on the jihadists. It's the t-shirt, from the river to the sea, Israel will be forever free. Get yours at sebgorkastore.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store.com, and you can support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Hello, I'm with the Biden campaign.
Yeah. I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Do you need anything more than that? Is that the only campaign ad you may need? I think that's great. Jeff, why is that campaign ad in the news?
Because Google said it violated some community terms of service or something.
And then deleted it?
Correct.
And then what happened?
Then they brought it back.
That's weird. What do you think happened?
It was too good of an ad. That's what happened.
Let's keep it in the evergreens, and let's just play it one more time, because it's very short, and it's rather good. So it's an ad portraying a woman in a Biden campaign call center, ringing an American voter. Play cut.
Hello, I'm with the Biden campaign.
Yeah, I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Oh, that is just utterly delicious. Welcome, dear friends. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We have a very, very, very special guest coming up momentarily here on America First. My former colleague in the White House, General Mike Flynn, former National Security Advisor and former Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. You do not want to miss that interview. Okay. President Trump has left the courtroom again this morning in Manhattan, and he had a message. Apparently, breaking news is that Hamas have agreed to ceasefire terms, temporary ceasefire terms, which, as I just tweeted out before we came on air, is utterly, completely meaningless, because they're all jihadis. Every single one of them should be killed or captured. A ceasefire means nothing with people who want to kill every Jew and every Christian or to enslave them. But that is the breaking news. President Trump had a message for Israel connected to domestic politics in America earlier this day. This is cut to play cut.
Now, it just came out, Columbia just canceled their commencement. Axios. Columbia just canceled their commencement. That shouldn't happen. And it also came out that the protesters, many of the protesters, are backed by Biden's donors. Okay? Are you listening, Israel? I hope you're listening, Israel. Hope you're getting smart. But they're backed by Biden donors. That's where the money's coming from.
Are you listening, Israel? Shockingly, I need to know why it was Politico. But Politico published at the weekend that George Soros, big billionaire donors like Bill Gates, George Soros, their organizations are behind the funding of the campus pro-Hamas protests. That's very interesting. Now, why is President Trump talking about that in front of the Manhattan courtroom? Because earlier today, he was gagged again. He was fined another $1,000 for a post on social media concerning his trial that he's now not allowed to talk about to his voters and to fellow American citizens in contravention of his First Amendment rights. And the judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to the Biden campaign and to an anti-Trump PAC, has said, if you do it again, I will put you in prison. He said, I don't want to, but I will. Well, if you don't want to, stop denuding President Trump of his First Amendment rights, not just as an American, but as the leader of the opposition and the man most likely to unseat the person you donated to for his presidential campaign. Just that one sentence is a snapshot of America today. Think about this. Internalize this. Burn this into your cerebellum. This morning, a Manhattan judge said, I'm going to put you in prison, Donald Trump, if you talk about this case against you. And you are the leader of the opposition. And I donated to the man you're trying to replace. That's the state of America today. We're having General Flynn on because of a film that was just released telling his story about what happened to him in the White House and after the White House. Maybe it was wrong of me, but I allowed myself to forget, temper my anger with regards to what happened to my former colleague. But this morning, as I was watching the film, retelling the story, which I knew all the details of, I mean, I worked in the White House with General Flynn, I very quickly became incensed once more. Because it's one thing to talk about Biden this, DOJ that, FBI this, crazy judges that, but at some level, it's all a little bit abstract to a certain degree. But when you see a man tell the story of what happened to him, and it's someone you know and who you worked with. I worked with him before the inauguration on the presidential transition team. It was me, Mike, and his son Michael, just three of us. In the presidential National Security Council transition team. And then to hear again how he had to sell his house, how his deep state law firm that was celebrating in internal texts about him pleading guilty to protect his son, was sending him invoices for $300,000 a month. And how his son broke down. Father to a brand new baby boy. As his father was threatened. You plead guilty, and we won't charge your son, and he won't have to go to prison. These are things that should make you angry. Because Mike Flynn served this nation for more than 30 years in uniform, with utmost honor, rising to the highest intelligence position in uniform, director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, from whence he was fired by Barack Obama. Why? Because he told the truth about Al-Qaeda and ISIS, about how they're stronger than ever, reconstituting themselves, how Afghanistan isn't working. And that's why he had to be got rid of. And that's why, when he became the National Security Advisor, he was target number two, right after President Trump. We'll talk to the man next here on America First, General Mike Flynn. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th, and God willing, if we do our part, the 47th President of the United States. We have an amazing new guest for the Manhood Hour today. Do not miss any of our third-hour discussions, the deep dive with real experts, true newsmakers. Subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Just plug in Sebastian Gorka and America First. But do leave us a five-star review and share the links with your friends. And if you want retribution, if you want the deep state to be in trouble, tell the world whose side you're on. Get the yard sign, get the T-shirt, get the mug with President Trump's booking photograph from Fulton with the phrase Trump 2024 at SebGorkaStore.com. With all of my books and all our America First gear made in America, that's SebGorkaStore, SebGorkaStore.com. And you can support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.